This is episode 22 of IDRA Class Notes.
There's been a recent shift where we have gone from kind of teacher-centered instruction to a more learner-facilitated instruction or inquiry-based, or we want to make it hands-on. Hands-on does not mean inquiry. Hands-on means you get to work with manipulatives and you get to touch things and use them, but it's still very procedural. Step one, do this. Step two, measure out this. Step three, time this. Step four, write it in this box. So we lose a sense of purpose as to why we're doing what we're doing. We look for a means to an end and we forget about the process that goes on with it. And so then kids have no purpose in what they're doing with science. And so there's no meaning. So it doesn't become meaningful even though it's hands-on.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Bradley Scott, and I really want to welcome you again and thank you for listening. Remember, IDRA is a small organization with a very big mission, and that is to recreate schools so that they work well for all learners. Now, in this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve every student. And we would love to hear from you, hear your thoughts and your questions and suggestions. So there will be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us. We also have set up an email to alert you that there is a new podcast. And we invite you to pay attention to that and also make yourself available to listen to the new podcasts as they come along. If you are not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you to stay up to date. And I would ask you simply to go to our website so that you can sign up. Well, listen, today we have a topic that I think is a topic among topics. I call it Science is a Key to Life, and I'll tell you why in a moment. It is with Veronica Bentancourt. And Veronica is a science education specialist here at IDRA. She has a Master's of Arts in Bicultural Bilingual Studies and a Bachelor of Science in Biology. She is a certified in composite science and English as a second language. And during her years as a classroom teacher, she taught many science courses, courses such as biology, marine biology, environmental science, integrated physics and chemistry, chemistry in the community, and oceanography. But here today at IDRA, she is a lead developer of one of our exciting new programs. It's called Science Smart. It's a professional development model. And before I get into Veronica's talking about it, I do remember, Veronica, when you first came on board. First of all, I'll let you know, it's great to have you here today. When you first came on board, you made us aware that science is a key to life, that science is in everyone's life. And just what did you mean by that, Veronica? Let me say hello and tell me what you meant by that.
Thank you, Dr. Scott, for having me. I am excited, so excited to be here and talking about science. What I meant by science is in everyone's life and science is our life is the fact that we live science, we are science, and what's lacking is the lens in which we see science. We are going through biological processes every day. We are constructing and building and incorporating technology and computers and math, and yet we don't speak of it. We understand things that happen, but we don't talk about the reasons and the purposes behind why they're happening. And so to help everybody see science, they have to know science in such a way they can apply that science. Whether it's biological science, whether it's physics, whether it's computer science, or any of the sciences that might fall within it. So
it's amazing to hear you say that, Veronica, because while science is in everybody's life, the statistics seem to say something else. I know that we are concerned about the number of girls who are not significantly engaged in science, or how many kids, minority poor kids, girls, seem to drop off in their science experiences. They don't pursue science in college and in their life careers. What are statistics showing you or saying to you? I mean, since science is in everybody's life, why isn't that we're more conscious of it? Why does it seem to be so daunting and such an exclusive club?
You know, I'm really glad you said that, because a lot has to do with the culture. A lot has to do with the gender and the lack of equity that you find in science. statistics have shown that even as most recently as 2002, only 9% of women have been in engineering fields, while the top 10 fastest growing jobs are related to either science or technology. Yet, we have less than 25% of the women in any of those fields.
And you know, it's amazing we have more women than we have men. Isn't that amazing that we are still dealing with those kinds of statistics?
It is, and it's unsettling because of the fact that the access can be there if we allow it to be there. But a lot of that has to be a shift in the beliefs of the teachers and of the confidence of incorporating math and science into everyday life. To be science, to live science. And what I'm saying is, imagine, you know, when you were a kid, and you were riding your bike and you skinned your knee. And mom says, oh, you know, it's okay. We're going to fix it. And you put some kind of medicine on it and then you get a scar. Well, how did that scar develop? What happened? And how did that medicine help to accelerate the process of healing? These are things that we could talk about even in the home with parents and to understand the basic concepts and to help students and children and learners to see what's going on in the world and to really engage them in that. And that's something that's of concern because a lot of times we consider science to be more of a male-dominated field, and so girls tend to shy away from that. There was a statistics that have shown that as children get older, the confidence levels of math and science decreases significantly, as well as the performance levels on standardized and international tests. And so that's very alarming as well.
Are you suggesting that teachers may be actually afraid of science also to teach it?
Yes, especially in the elementary schools, because a lot of teachers are generalist and they have to be kind of a jack of all trades. And so there's the understanding of the basics, but the application may be lacking, the ability to make it applicable to things that are happening in the real world. With the focus being so heavy on math and reading for so long, teachers might have lost that finesse in order to incorporate science into their teachings and helping to facilitate that learning for kids.
Well, given what you've laid out so far, Veronica, let me ask you, what do you think it would take to begin to turn things around in education, where science is concerned, in the classroom, what teachers need to do differently, and even administrators, what would they need to begin to do differently?
One of the first things we have to look at, I think, is the fact that there is a shift in valuing of what students bring. We have to shift our focus on what we believe and what we can expect students to do in the classroom at a secondary level and what they bring with their own confidence levels in the secondary school. And it really starts at home, and then it also goes into the early childhood and elementary grades. I have never met a child who didn't like and wonder about worms or about, you know, bugs or something that was crawling or be afraid, and yet somewhere that gets lost. And so we need to really shift our focus, and not so much besides the content, we have to shift our focus into the valuing and the beliefs that all children can do science and math, and that it's accessible. Not that it's something for somebody who's smart, that comes from some kind of non-poverty family, or that it's for just a select few because they can afford to go to college. It can be for anybody and anybody, regardless of which college you go to or what profession you choose. It's a matter of making the choice to incorporate science into your life, and that will help to build the connections between that background knowledge and the understanding, conceptual understanding of science. And administrators sometimes don't have that understanding either because of either their experiences or what have not. And so we really need to shift and look at the support from administrators. We need to take the fact that secondary teachers tend to be very heavy in content and not so heavy in pedagogy, where elementary teachers are very heavy in pedagogy, but maybe not so heavy in content. And so we need to kind of incorporate that and blend it so that there is a vertical alignment that occurs with that teaching of science.
And it sounds also like you're suggesting there needs to be different kind of teaching, a different pedagogical paradigm, if you will, way of thinking about how teaching needs to look in science classrooms?
Absolutely. There has been a recent shift where we have gone from kind of teacher-centered instruction to a more learner-facilitated instruction. However, that's the shift that needs to happen. What's been happening is a lot of things are inquiry-based, or we want to make it hands-on. Hands-on does not mean inquiry. Hands-on means you get to work with manipulatives, and you get to touch things and use them, but it's still very procedural. Step one, do this. Step two, measure out this. Step three, time this. Step four, write it in this box. Step five, answer these questions. So we lose a sense of purpose as to why we're doing what we're doing. we look for a means to an end, and we forget about the process that goes on with it. And so then kids have no purpose in what they're doing with science, and so there's no meaning. So it doesn't become meaningful even though it's hands-on.
That is fascinating. I have never quite thought of it in that way, that the science can be such a procedural thing. And I think about science being such a procedural thing, but you're saying there is a more holistic way of looking at how things happen from beginning to end.
Right.
That should be a part of what kids become engaged in as they do that. Let me ask you this, Veronica. The Math Smart, the Science Smart model that you have been working with is a professional development model. Mm-hmm. So that suggests then that you're doing something to help teachers to do something differently in their pedagogy, in how they present science in the classroom. Am I correct in that statement?
Absolutely. The Science Smart model is a year-long professional development model that doesn't come in to add more to what the teachers are already doing or expected to do. Our goal is to come in and help make a seamless integration of the curriculum that they already have in place, along with the pedagogy that they already bring to the table. And we value the teachers. We model for the teachers the valuing of their background knowledge, just like we expect them to value that with students. We expect unconditional administrative support, because with the Math Smart that has happened in the last few years, we have shown increased gains, and the most substantial gains have been those with the schools that have had unconditional administrative support.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We have one of our podcasts, in fact, focuses in on Math Smart. I would hope our listeners would go back and just check that out to kind of remember what that was about and reframe their thinking as a background context for your discussion here.
Well, and it's so critical because math and science, it's like a marriage. It's like a symbiotic relationship, if you will. You know, it's a mutualistic relationship, and one really relies on the other. You know, and what's one of the reasons that people might shy away from science is because, oh, well, I don't know math. Well, it's not that you don't know math. Yes, science has to have some procedures, but it's not just procedural. And with the Science Smart, we demonstrate to teachers that it doesn't have to be 25 milliliters of measure out this, and you learn density in the first week, and then you learn that, you know, you don't learn it again until right before a standardized test is being given. It's something that can be done over and over again that's integrated, and so then all of the standards that are in place for each of the states, it's not a compartmentalized instruction. It's an integrated and reinforced instruction. And another portion of that is to help teachers learn to kind of let go. There's always this fear that it's science, it's dangerous, and kids are going to get hurt. But when students engage in things, yes, there's safety precautions to take place, and yes, there are safety rules that have to be followed, and by no means are we encouraging them not to follow them. But within safety guidelines, there is still that opportunity for students to learn. If you, for example, if you were learning about chemical reactions, let's say in high school, and one of the most common ones you might have is when you mix vinegar with baking soda, and so you get a chemical reaction, and one of the products is bubbles. And why tell them, okay, you have to have this X amount of milliliters of vinegar and this X amount of grams of baking soda? Why can't you just let the kids decide, how much do I want to put together? Let them compare. Let them come up with their own data. This is that kind of collaboration that allows for, number one, student-student negotiation. Number two, academic negotiation within students, which then helps your English language learners as well as your struggling learners, and it helps to conceptualize things. And it also lends itself to being a scientist. It's not like, here's a recipe. It's, hey, let's discover what happens and what are some of the things that might have happened. What are the variables that might have affected the results and how can we measure it? So students really begin to inquire and problem solve as opposed to, here's a problem, let me tell you how to solve it. And that's what's been lost in science, and that's why I think why a lot of kids don't feel that connection to it and that meaningful learning, which is all part of the Science Smart model. A lot of it also is how we value the teachers and actually build on that knowledge that they have. It's really critical because the number of English language learners that are in our schools has increased dramatically. And studies have shown it, and we've seen it in all kinds of reports. And yet, we're also seeing the achievement gap between English language learners and their white counterparts to be huge. So what are we doing to help facilitate learning for the English language learners, academic learning.
I'm sure we see that between English language learners and English dominant learners. I'm sure we also see that between our poor students versus middle class students. We do certainly see racial divides. And so these issues of greater access and greater engagement with science seem to be very, very important and powerful notions, and particularly in a nation where, as we continue to move forward, science is going to become more and more important in terms of who we are and what we do in the world. So do you also see Science Smart, for instance, and what you do as you work with teachers in their classrooms as a way of opening up more doors for more diverse learners to have more enriched science experiences?
Absolutely. Even with some limited resources, there are creative ways that we can engage students so they can actually learn the conceptual understanding of what's going on. And you mentioned the access to higher coursework. While the accessibility has actually increased in the United States, it's still a gateway because it is the teachers and the preparation of such that determines whether a student can enter that.
So there is big issue.
Huge issue.
Very important. Sure.
Especially, it even came out in some discussions when we talked about equity in Arkansas and the idea that, you know, students felt and saw that racial divide and that it was the minority students who were not getting into these classes because of such. So it's the preparation for the students as well. It's not just having them available in the schools, but having the access to them regardless of your color or your language or any other kind of potential
identifying characteristic.
Thank you.
Sure,
yes,
sure.
I couldn't get that word out.
No problem. Sure. So, Veronica, I know our time is running, and this is extremely exciting. This area of science is one of those ones that people don't do a lot of talking about in an age when we're saying science is more and more critical and more important to just the way the world works anymore. You know, there was a time when people could live their whole lives and never even think about science as something important to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in an era, we're in a stage of our national development, our international presence, where our being science competent, science literate, is hugely important in terms of who we are and who we will be. The number of nations that are coming on, industrialized nations coming on, for whom their students are getting access to science. What two important notions would you want educators to keep in mind as we continue to move forward around science and young learners' access to quality science experiences?
I think two of the most critical things that you can do for your kids as an educator is to encourage them to pursue math and science, that it's not something that is impossible or that is out of reach. Regardless if you're a male or a female, or if you're African American or Hispanic, or if you're Caucasian or whatever, any child should have access to it, and every child should be confident in doing math and science, especially because that's what leads to scientific competencies. That's the first thing. The second thing is to keep in mind that if we plan to stay a nation that is a leader in the world, then we need to continue to educate our children as if though that is the only option. Because what's happening is our children are shying away from it, especially our women. Even though they outperform males on tests, they still let fewer and fewer of them are actually pursuing that in as a career choice. And so to continuously do whatever we can to encourage those kids is what really needs to happen.
Well, I've been very excited, of course, about the work you've been doing in Science Smart in and around the region. I mean, I certainly would encourage teachers and administrators to look more into it and what is offered here through IDRA. Let me ask you, in terms of where Science Smart is going as a professional development model, what major focus do you think will be extremely important to prepare teachers to be able to do the kinds of things around not only believing and not only valuing and having greater or higher expectations for kids, but particularly in their pedagogical practice? What big focus or thrust do you see Science Smart will help them to develop?
You know, that's a really great question, because I think about that all the time. Like, what are the main things that we want? What are the outcomes we want for teachers? And I think that one of the biggest things is we want teachers to be able to let go and to say it's okay for students to engage, that they don't have to be the center of attention in the sense that it's their responsibility and their sole responsibility to be the disseminating information of science, that kids can and have the capability of and will learn science on their own if they can act as a facilitator. That's one of the biggest shifts that we see in the pedagogy, is that lens to shift over and say that, that kids can learn science on their own and they can come up with their own hypotheses and they can do their own conclusions and they can present what they've got and they can actually create their own graphs. You know, give them an opportunity to do that. And that's kind of one of the biggest things that Science Smart does, as well as help teachers to use assessment to inform instruction, because there's a huge gap between what the kids actually know and how they can demonstrate that knowledge on tests. So,
well, listen, this has been exciting, and this is going to be the first in the series, because I know that as you peel back the layers of the model, there are different issues that would be important to teachers. How to question, how to conduct inquiry. There are a number of different things that you talk about. I'd be very happy to have you come back, Veronica, and talk to us a little more about that. But I do want to thank you for the time that you have given us today in terms of this overview of not only Science Smart, but science in public education. It's greater accessibility for all kinds of diverse learners. We've been talking to today Veronica Betancourt, who is a staff member at the Intercultural Development Research Association. And I want to thank you, Veronica. I want to thank you for the time that you have spent with us today, as well as the leadership and guidance you have provided around this important area of science and public education. I am Dr. Bradley Scott, and we're about to sign off, but I do want to remind you that we would love to hear from you. So you be sure to contact us through our website with your thoughts and your questions and suggestions. And there will be information at the end of the podcast to help you to do that. And by all means, sign on and subscribe to our podcast series. We would love to have you coming back and regularly visiting with us. Until the next time, I'm going to ask you to take care of yourself.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org, or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.